the eternal perspective. Chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then, as we know, Paul goes on in chapter 5 to talk about that eternal state, that eternal body. And in verse 9, he says, therefore, we make it our aim, based upon heaven, based upon our desire and groaning and longing to be there. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present here on the earth or absent from this body, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one might receive the things which are done in the body, according to what has been done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we ourselves are well known to God, and we also trust are well known to your conscience. Paul here is sharing his heart. Now, 2 Corinthians is a book that starts with God is faithful and God comforts those that suffer. And through our sufferings, we're able to comfort others that suffer with the comfort we've received from God. Paul is in a time in his ministry where he's having incredible afflictions, a lot of suffering, which can equal burnout, which can bring us to the point of burnout. And I've seen burnout so many times in ministry. Listen to what Paul says in chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the tribulations which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Paul here shares from his own afflictions. I don't want you to be ignorant, he says, brethren, of our tribulations which came to us when we were in Asia. When we were ministering the gospel, when we were in the midst of ministry, there were many tribulations, and he speaks of one specifically, that he says that we had the sentence of death within ourselves. It means that he thought it was over. He was going to die. There was no hope. Listen to how he says there. He says in the middle of verse 8, he says that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. And there was a sentence of death in us. It was almost guaranteed, we are not going to make it out of this one. Paul went through some real heavy, real hard situations. As you read in chapter 4, he says in verse 7, or verse 8, he says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in dismay. Persecuted, but not struck down. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also might be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also might be manifested in our mortal bodies. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Now Paul here is sharing his afflictions, hardships, tribulations, so much that he says the sentence of death was in us. Chapter 6, he says it this way in verse 4. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God. And this is a minister of God. This is the ministry. And for those of you that might not be really in the ministry yet, really sunk deep into the ministry, but have that desire too. Listen, it's not all glory. It's not all glamour. There is no glory. There is no glamour. This is the ministry. Verse 4. In much patience, in tribulation, in need, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fasting, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and by dishonor, by evil report and by good report, as deceived and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful and always rejoicing, as poor and yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Wow, that's a mouthful. That's a list. That's the ministry. And then Paul says in chapter 11, you're going to see that 2 Corinthians is a book of suffering. And remember, it starts with that. Kind of the intro to it is that God is the God that comforts those that suffer. Chapter 11, where we have our theme verse in verse 3. I want you to live in the simplicity of Christ. In the same chapter, he says, there in verse 24, from the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I had been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides all the other things that come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Boy, those are some lists. Now, that's not usually what we look at is when we think about ministry. That's not really the picture that's painted. Well, let's paint a biblical picture of ministry. That's the picture that the New Testament paints of ministry. God has, why is it that you, why is it that I am in ministry, or why is it that you might desire to be? Hopefully because God has called you. Because your desire is to glorify the Lord. You don't get into ministry to get out of ministry. You get into ministry to give. You give into ministry to die. You go into ministry to do what Jesus did, to give your life a ransom for many. You're not going to atone people through it, but you're giving your life. Always dying, but alive. Carrying the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus might be manifested in our mortal bodies. There is many hardships. There are many afflictions. The hardships sometimes are just too hard for some to handle. Back to our text there in chapter 4. It says, therefore. Now that therefore is in the context of what we read there in chapter 4 about some hardships. Therefore, we do not lose heart. How is it that we can spare ourselves from burnout? Burnout comes through these kinds of things, through these trials. You get burned out on ministry. You get burned out on people. It's not usually that we get burned out on the Lord. We get burned out on people. We get burned out on problems. And if you're in a ministry like Paul is, leading and pastoring, planting churches, and all he does is deal with problem after problem after problem, and Paul is even deeper, imprisonment after imprisonment, beating after beating, persecution after persecution. I mean, his list is so much greater than all of ours. If we all made a list of our lives, it couldn't match just Paul's. All of us together couldn't compare to Paul's. And if Paul didn't get burned out in ministry, that means I don't have to. You know, it's almost like people, I've heard them talk in ministry, like it's just going to happen. And you know, when you're young in the Lord and zealous and you're loving God and you're serving Him and you start in the ministry, I can remember when I was, there was people that came alongside and said, well, you'll get burned out. Well, thanks for the encouraging word. And God bless you and bless your ministry as well. I mean, you know, it's like I'm burned out, and you will be soon too, and when you are, come with me and we can sulk about being burned out. Listen, it isn't biblical. God's desire isn't to put you in a ministry to burn you out. God's desire is that he put you in ministry, and I'll tell you what ministry does. Ministry sanctifies you. I am totally, wholly, 100% convinced that God put me in the place he put me in ministry because he knew I needed it. It's my school. It's that which keeps me accountable, keeps me on my toes. You think about the accountability of ministry, of being an example, of people watching you, and it keeps you on your toes. You know, if I didn't have that, I'm afraid to know what I might do. I'm afraid to know of my own carnality. And so you can't look at yourself as, well, we're the spiritual group of the church here. That's who's here. We've been invited. We're the spiritual ones. In reality, I would have to say we're probably some of the most carnal. And God is going to help us with our carnality, with our problems, by putting us in a place where we can't be carnal and still remain in that place that we are. So God keeps us on our toes, and he's going to challenge us and do these things in us. And I'll tell you what, I'm totally convinced it's true. Sometimes I sit back and think, where would I be right now if I didn't have that accountability that I do? I'm afraid to think. And that might be sad, but that's just a commentary on my own carnality. You know, it's something that we've got to watch out for, this whole thing about being burned out. Because we can get so focused on ministry, so focused on the work, that we forget the master. And in it, you will get burned out. What's the key to burnout? If you want to know how to get burned out, what do you do? Take your eyes off of Jesus and put them on the ministry. Give it a couple months and you're done. Because people are people. They're like you. They're sinners. There are some people that just don't get it. And sad to say, probably never will get it. And I want to be positive, but I also want to be real. There are some people that you will pray with, that you will counsel, that you will encourage, that you will spend hour after hour after hour with, and the hard reality is they will never, ever get it. And when they backslide, it tears you up. You feel like you've failed. You've done everything you can. You feel like you have failed in ministering to them. And the reality is they're people. Church splits happen over the most ridiculous things. Why? Because we're dealing with people. People just get lax and begin to talk and say things and begin this. What we know is biblically gossip, begin to slander. Maybe not really thinking, I'm going to gossip. I want to start a church split, so let's do it. But they just are people. They're just maybe apathetic in their walk, and they don't care, and they know maybe it's not the best thing, but they just vent and go, and little sex start in the church of, you know, the murmurs and the complainers and why the church is doing this and why they shouldn't be, and what's wrong with them, and on and on and on and on they go, and pretty soon there's this big old division, and all this is going on, and people are all upset, and that's real hard. That's burnout. That's like, because you look at that, and your eyes are on that, and you go, I don't want to have anything to do with this. Forget it. You know, I don't need this. I'm not here to declare that I'm the greatest guy ever to live and everybody should follow and listen to me. I got here because the Lord called me. And sometimes you forget it. Well, how you got there. You just know you're there and you wonder why. Why am I here? What am I doing here? I don't want to be here. And for those of you that might not have been in ministry that long, you're not in that place yet. You don't understand what I'm saying. You will. I'm speaking prophetically. This is a word of prophecy. Okay? Thus saith the Lord, you will. You will understand one day if you continue in ministry. And there's a key. There's a key to not getting burned out, and that is living with an eternal perspective. Do not look at people. Keep your eyes on the Lord. You will lose heart if you're focused on people. Now, the thing is we've got to minister to people, right? Yes, but we minister to people not looking to them to receive from them back. Okay, I'm going to give to you. I'm going to spend time with you, and I now want to see you, you know, grow and or forget you. And we're looking for our satisfaction, if you would. We're looking for the return in the people. The reality is the people didn't call us. The people don't anoint us. The people don't lead us. And it's not the people we are accountable to, ultimately. I mean, there's accountability within the body, but ultimately we are accountable to the Lord. You're not going to stand before the people on the day of judgment, and they're not going to say, now, what a great pastor Trent was, or what a horrible pastor Trent was. It's not to whom I give an account. I give an account to the Lord. And it's the Lord that I need to serve. And it's a tricky thing because I'm serving the Lord, and in serving the Lord, I'm serving people, but I'm not serving people. See, people are my ministry. The sheep are the ministry. The people around me is that which God has called me to. That's my practical area of ministry, but that's not really whom I'm serving. I'm serving the Lord. And our eyes have to be fixed upon the Lord. Our hearts have to be in tune with the Lord, because when trial hits our life, if they're not, where we will not make it. We won't be those consistent leaders. We won't have that strength that we've been talking about. We'll go up and down. We'll be thrashed because we hold so much stock and weight in what these people think of us. When they don't think kindly of us anymore, when they've got problems with us, we'll be devastated. The pain will be too much for us to continue on walking in the Spirit and loving them and caring for them. We will turn on them. We will get bitter. We'll be just like them. They'll say accusations against us. We'll say them against them. We'll walk in pride as they walk in pride. We'll defend ourselves as they defend themselves, and we'll be just as bad as they are. And we've got to understand that our ministry, our calling, our accountability is with the Lord, and that's where our eyes need to be, and that's simplicity. It's as simple as this. Keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus. You're in the ministry because Jesus called you. You're accountable to Jesus. You stand before Him. He's the one you worship. When nobody responds, it doesn't matter because you're not doing it for people. When nobody says great message, when nobody encourages you, when nobody ever thanks you, no big deal. You're not looking for it. You're not even desiring it because you don't do it for people. You do it because the Lord's called you. You do it because God has spoken. You're serving the Lord. There's a huge difference. Many, many ministers today, many senior pastors, I talk to them often, are serving people. And they're so confused. And they're thrashed because people thrash you. Paul said, the more I love you, the more I'm hated. That's true. It seems the more you give, the more you pour, when it's all said and done, the more you're hated. I don't know how many of you have really experienced that, but the reality is there are going to be people, and again, this is just prophetical, this is truth. There are going to be people in your life that you pour into, that you're going to find are going to be your worst enemies one day. And that's hard to even really believe. You say, no, come on. Your worst enemies? Yes. What happens is you begin to pour into somebody, and everything's going great. Everything's awesome. You're discipling somebody. It's sweet. It's a blessing. And at one point in the beginning, they look to you as their leader. They look to you as a spiritual leader. They're blessed. But something, and I'm not saying every person you pour into this will happen. I'm just saying these things happen. Something happens. Sometimes you get so close to someone. You get so They get so familiar with you, no longer do they look up to you, do they receive from you. But now they come to you as an equal. And that's fine in a sense. I mean, you're no better than they are. But the problem is they come to you without your calling. And they now think they're your buddy because you guys are good friends now and you've built a nice relationship. And now they're your buddy and now they've got a word from the Lord for you. And now they're going to tell you how to do the ministry. And as they do, and you begin to disagree with them, because usually it's, you're doing it wrong, let me show you, God has been speaking to me, da 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 da. And they begin to share with you, and you begin to, you know, say, oh, I don't agree with that. Then division starts. And once that division then begins, there becomes that separation, and then that's where the gossip begins. And the backbiting, and those that were once closest to you that brought you the greatest blessing have caused you the most pain. And that is the reality of ministry. And if my eyes in the midst of all this aren't focused on the Lord, and they're focused on this relationship and that relationship, I'm just going to be thrashed. And I won't be able to be a consistent leader. I won't be able to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I'll be broken and weak and thrashed, and I won't be able to go on. I won't be able to consistently teach the Word of God and feed the sheep that are there. I'll be concerned about the sheep that aren't there and what's going on or who's thinking this of me, and just an emotional basket case. And I'm not just talking to the ladies. Guys, you're emotional. You just reveal it in different ways. You get hurt just as bad. Maybe you don't go cry every day, but you know, you harden your heart and you do other things, but it's all emotions and it's deep and there's bitterness and we struggle with all those things. Listen, to free us up from all of it is, I don't serve people. I serve the Lord. And in serving Him, He says, pour into this person, I'll pour into them. And I'm not expecting anything from them. I'm giving for the sake of giving, expecting nothing in return. And when you do it like that, when your eyes are fixed on the Lord, you're going to find that you won't lose heart. Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. Even though outwardly things are perishing, it doesn't look good. Whether it's physical infirmity, Paul here is speaking in a context of persecution, physical infirmities. Our outward man is perishing, he says, but our inward man is being renewed. Every single day that you walk in simplicity in Christ, that your eyes are fixed on the Lord, that you're a worshiper and a lover of the Lord, that you're surrendered, that you're confident in the blood of Jesus, and you're pressing into God, and you're drawing near to God, all of the things we've talked about, you will find that there's incredible sanctification happening in you. And your inward man is going to be renewed. There's a renewing, there's a refreshing, there's a revival. You know how it is when we come up here together, and many times we come up, we're thrashed. Sometimes it's hard for us to get here. When we leave, we say, I've been refreshed. That's revival. You've been revived. Your eyes have been enlightened once again. You're now get a refocused on that which you should be. The main thing is the main thing, and your heart's been blessed, and you've been stirred. You're refreshed. Understand this, brothers and sisters. You can be refreshed every day. Where? In the presence of the Lord, at the feet of Jesus, sitting at His feet, hearing His words. You can be refreshed by the Lord. That's where we need to be. There is an inward working, renewing day by day in our hearts as we're simply walking with the Lord. I mean, here's Paul talking about being renewed day by day in the midst of the list that we've read. Okay, it's not like he's just talking about just sitting in a sanctuary, you know, he's up at a retreat, he's, you know, they're worshiping, they're fellowshipping, you know, they're receiving the word, God is speaking, they're journaling, they're having a great time. Okay? He's talking about a refreshing work in his heart every day in the midst of trials, in the midst of hardship, in the midst where he should lose heart, and he has to say to the Corinthians, therefore we don't lose heart. We're not losing heart because God is being magnified. God is being manifest. And he goes on to say, for, verse 17, our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Here Paul says this. He says, we don't lose heart, though the outward man is a perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For, now when you have an eternal perspective, you can say this. Paul said, for our light afflictions, because of his view of the Lord, his eyes on Jesus, he can look at his trials and consider them as light. How many of us could really say that? Now, we've read the list of what Paul talked about, what he went through. Did that sound like a light afflictions to you? Or was that like, whoa, I've never gone through all that? And you would say, I've been through some pretty heavy afflictions in my life. But because when you have an eternal perspective, it's not as bad as it looks. They're light afflictions. He realizes this. He says, but for a moment. He says, for our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Wow. He says the afflictions, they're light. Now, just notice a couple things here. Number one, they're light. He considers them. They're momentary. They're temporary. And then he says a striking statement, and many of you have heard me say this often, and I want to say it again, and I want to drive it home. Don't ever forget this. This is life to me. They are working for me, he says. Did you hear that? Working for me? The light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for me. Now, how many of you feel like, when you're going through an affliction, that it's working for you? It's working on behalf of you. It's helping you. When I hire somebody to come, let's say, and, you know, do some work at my house, I need them to come and, you know, cut the grass. I need somebody to come and, you know, build something. I hire them. Now they're working for me. What are they doing? They're helping me. They're doing it so I don't have to. They're saving me time. I am going to pay them to do something. I'm blessed. I'm freed up. That's how Paul viewed afflictions, as laborers for him. I don't think that's how we view afflictions. We view them the opposite way. Not that they're working for me. Wasn't it Jacob that said when Joseph was gone and now Joseph was dead in his mind and Benjamin and I was gone, all things are against me. That's how we are in our afflictions. All things, how could God allow this to happen? How could God let this go on? Every my life is a mess. It's over. Everything is working against me. No. Reality, it's working for you. But see, we have a problem. We have a problem, and here's our problem. Verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. While we do not look at the things which are seen. Oh, there's my number one problem. My eyes are on the temporal and not on the eternal. That changes your life completely. When your eyes are on the temporal, you can't say light afflictions. You say heavy. This is so heavy. I've never been such through a heavy thing in my life. You don't say, you know, it's just a light affliction. It's only light in comparison to the eternal. And you usually don't say, oh, it's only for a short time. You feel like you'll never get out of it. You know what I'm saying? You guys have been there. You feel like you'll never, ever get out of it. You're down in the pit of despair feeling like, I can't go on. People take their life because of that feeling. People commit suicide because they feel like the thing they're going through they'll never get out of, and it's over. There's no reason to live any longer. They don't see it as light. They don't see it as temporary, because they look at what's seen. The biggest mistake you can ever make is look at what's seen. Look at Jesus. Now, you can't see him. When I say look at Jesus, how do you look at him? Where is he? You know, what does that mean? Fix your eyes on Jesus. And people say, and he's invisible. I can't see him. No, that's the whole point of looking at the things which are not seen. That's what, when we say look at the eternal, the truth that we know. It's not something that's physical that we can see with our natural eye. But it's something that we can see with our soul. And that's exactly where we need to stay if we need to look at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to keep our eyes on him and look at all of the things that surround him, the eternal. I'll tell you what, one of the greatest encouragements for me, one of the greatest blessings in my life, one of the greatest points and areas of strength has been the reality that I'm going to heaven. When you're in a trial, that reality is a real blessing, because you're like, let's go. You know, you're ready for heaven. And God doesn't want me to get too comfortable here on earth, lest I don't want heaven. God keeps me in that place of urgency and dependency and longing for eternity. And Paul, he was there, as he goes on in chapter 5. He's groaning to be clothed with the habitation which is from heaven. Yeah, you would be too if you went through what Paul did. Listen, it's heaven that we ought to be living for. It's that which should be motivating us to do what we do. It's in that light. And so when a trial comes into my life, when a situation arises in the ministry, I can say, wait a second. I'm not going to look at what I see. I'm going to look at what I know to be true about the Lord, about who he is. And I can respond properly to that individual, to that situation, to that problem, because I'm focused on Jesus, and it's really simple. I'm not confused. I'm not emotionally thrashed. I'm not all tripped up. I'm worshiping like I've always been. I'm walking with him. I'm loving him. I'm serving him. I'm having a blessed time as I love and worship him. And Satan loses. And the reality is this thing that's going on, it's working for me a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Wow! God is so good. I mean, he'll even take my trials and have them start laboring for me that I could get more glory in eternity. Again, God's grace is so good. And it's so simple. It's so basic. Paul was really a simple guy. So simple. Hey, we don't look at the things which are seen, but the things which aren't seen. The things that are seen are temporary, and things which aren't seen are eternal. Simple as that. I mean, that's not complex. That's not confusing. That's basic. Take it, believe it, walk in it, and love it. And that was Paul's attitude towards it. And what this does for you, it causes you to be sober. It causes you to be a strong leader. And it causes you to be a worshiper. It causes you to long for heaven. It causes you to look for the blessed hope and glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, which causes not burnout, but a stirring within the heart. Hey, there's no time for me to sulk. There's no time for me to whine. Jesus could come today, and I'm just going to worship. I don't want to live in the flesh. I don't want to be all depressed. I just want to love God. And hey, if somebody else isn't going to, if somebody else is going to err and not take heed to correction, why is that going to hurt me? Why am I going to let that now affect my life? Why am I now going to err? Why am I now going to not walk with the Lord? Hey, what? That is so dumb. Think about it. Somebody is going to be rebellious, so I will be. Duh. somebody is not going to heed, so I won't. But tell them they better. Why don't you? Who's going to be their example of joy? Who's going to be their example of the peace of God? Who's going to be their example of a loving, beautiful relationship with Christ, of simplicity? And when they come to their senses, who are they going to come back to? The person that's filled with the Holy Spirit. The person that's been consistent. The person that has remained loving them. The person that would not lash back at them. The person that was Jesus. They're going to come right back. They're going to repent. And you're going to be able to begin again to be used by God in their life. And you're going to forgive them like Jesus did. Like he's done to you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Where he's forgiven, he's forgotten. That's what you're going to do. Because your eyes aren't on them. You're not so worried. You don't even remember what they did to you. You know, it's a blessing. When you're not focused on people, you'll find you won't even remember all the things they did to you bad. Because it didn't hurt you that bad because your eyes were on the Lord. Oh, you mean they said that about me? Oh, I forgot. Because it wasn't a big deal. I didn't really take, heed to it. I just kind of, okay. But do what you got to do, but I've got to walk with the Lord. That's where I've got to be. You're not going to get burnt out if you're in that place. And it's simple. It's keeping my mind and my heart fixed on the things that are eternal and not the things that are seen, temporary. Because the eternal is all that really matters. And this also will bring you into that place of being able to walk in the fear of God. Because all that I do with the eternal perspective in mind. All that I do with the reality that I'm going to stand before the Lord. I'm going to give an account what I've done in the body, whether good or bad. And therefore, what I'm doing, it gets down to the fear of God. It gets down to the motives of my heart. What I'm doing, I do before the Lord. And to the Lord, I shall give an account. And it just incredibly blesses your walk. It causes you just to flourish with the Lord. Draw near. Your conscience is pure because you're walking with the Lord. Because you are concerned with the things that aren't seen, not just the things that are seen. You're concerned with the thoughts and motives of your heart when somebody says something against you. You say, hey, I responded in my heart wrong. Maybe I was able to deal with it properly outwardly, but in my heart I responded wrong. And Lord, forgive me for that. And you draw near to the Lord. And you allow him to do that work in your heart. You allow him to do that work in your life. You allow him to touch you and minister to you. And you continue to deepen and you're renewed day by day by day. There's a living relationship with Jesus Christ. And you're walking with him and you're walking before him. And you realize, hey, if I'm to do this in ministry, is this something that God has called me to? Is this something that God has for me? Because if it's not, I don't care. Maybe I might look good or be the spotlight. Maybe there's an opportunity for me to teach, but the question is, has God really called me to that? Maybe my flesh would love that. Maybe my heart would love to see that. But is that what God's called me to? Is that something that I stand before the Lord and that's the calling on my life? Is that what? Because I don't walk with people. Because it doesn't matter what's seen, now it looks good, but hey, is it going to look good later? Is that your concern? That should be our number one concern. Forget how it looks now. You know, the things I'm doing, it looks like it's producing fruit now, but is it really a lasting fruit? I'm going to stand before the Lord with this. Is this the Lord in my life? Or is this people? Because people don't matter. When I'm not going to stand before people. I'm going to stand before the Lord. I'm going to give an account to him. And my heart and my passion is to bring him glory. And it's before the Lord we begin to really discern these things and begin to really search our heart on these things. Is this going to bring my Father glory? Or is this an ambition of my flesh? Is this the Lord? Has he spoken? Is he leading? Is he guiding? Is this how I bring him honor and glory? Living a life where you are living not based on the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. There are going to be many people that in the day of judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, oh, they'll be saved. But they live their life based upon what other people thought was good. Their convictions might have been shaped by what other people did, but they had a conscience within their conscience. There was a problem, but they just denied it because it was okay with others. And they never sought to see, is this okay with the Lord for me? I'm not the judge of others. If they're going to do something, again, we're talking about things, that, just convictions. God has convicted me a certain way. God is I can't do that, or I can do that, or and I walk before God, not people. Not being a follower of people, being a follower of Christ. Not being influenced by people's opinions on your life or on what you're doing, but influenced on Christ's opinion. And I'm afraid to say many times we don't even care to ask Christ what his opinion is. We hear the opinion of man, take it, that's great. We're all good. And we just go with it. And the Lord has so much more for us. And it's such a richer relationship. It's not just in heaven I'll get rewards. Because again, we know what we're going to do with them. The rewards that we get for everything God did and let us have be a partaker of, you guarantee you're going to throw them at his feet. I'm not a big guy on I want a lot of rewards, but I want rewards to bring him glory. That's the motive of rewards. The more rewards, the more crowns that are cast at his feet, the more he's glorified. And you're going to see, rewards do matter. Jesus said they did. It's God that came up with the idea, not man. And he said, be careful. I come and my reward is with me according to your works. And that you're going to give an account. And it's a big thing to the Apostle Paul, this whole idea of rewards. So it's not the issue of, I want rewards. I want God to pat me on the back and say, you're the best Christian that ever lived. But I want to see God so glorified. I want my life to be as glorifying as it possibly can to the Lord. And therefore, today, I need to be concerned with what God thinks, with what ultimately is going to bring God glory. Because you know when God really is glorified? He's going to be glorified in heaven. You're going to see, we are going to see what it means for God to be glorified. We have no clue what that really means. We are going to see what it means for God to be magnified and worshiped. You know, we think our little worship, this is a joke. You know, the deepest time of worship you've ever had is, the scripture says, just a foretaste. It's just a little taste of what's to come. When we are all standing on the sea of glass around the throne of God, let me tell you, there is going to be worship like you have never, ever seen and never experienced. And we're going to realize what our lives did to bring God glory. When people are being judged to hell, God is going to be being glorified in worship for justice and truth and righteousness. And we're going to see how it's all going to work out. We're going to say, faithful and true are your judgments, O Lord. And there's going to be worship. And I want my life today to live in the light of that day. I don't want to get to that day and go, man, there was a lot in my life that was all for man and that wasn't for the Lord. But I thought it was. And there's that deception. Our hearts are deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know them? And the safe way to live is to live in the light of God. And to do our works before the Lord. And to have our motives right. And it simply comes down to walking with Jesus. It's not about people. It's not about popularity. It's not about having a big church. It's not about being involved in a ministry that's, quote, fruitful. It depends on what fruitful means. If fruitful's numbers, well, there's many churches that have numbers, but I'll tell you, before the throne, it's not going to be a glorious thing, all these numbers. While this pastor had 100 people, well, that's okay. This guy, though, had 4,000. But the pastor that had 100 people had 100 people that loved God and worshipped him. The pastor that had 4,000, I'm not saying if somebody's got 4,000 people in their church, they're all carnal. The pastor, though, that had 4,000, they're just a bunch of churchgoers. And there was, and the magnitude of glory from the 100 people congregation is going to be congregation that really brought God glory. You know, and it's, and see, we don't see it like that. We look, 100 people, 4,000, boy, that guy's being used by the Lord. That guy, well, pray for him. He's only got 100. And that's just the carnal mindset. That's what we see. But you don't know what's really happening. And in ministry, you can get discouraged unnecessarily. You know, I only have one person I'm discipling. And that guy, you know, he's got 30. And they all come over and love him. And yeah. But you don't know what's going on. You take that one person and pour into him. Boy, the guy that discipled Billy Graham, you know, sure did a good job. You know what I'm saying? Those that discipled, you know, Charles Spurgeon. I mean, you do one Charles Spurgeon, you're going to do a lot. You know, but at the time you're there, you don't see that. You can't live on sight. Paul says in chapter 5 there, in verse 7, he says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk by faith in God that He's called me, that He's, this is what He set before me, and in the integrity of my heart, this is what I'm doing, and here I am, and Lord, be magnified, be glorified. And Lord, here I go, and I'm not going to look around and compare and measure, and I'm just going to worship. I'm just going to be where you are, Lord. I'm going to be where you've called me, and I'm going to enjoy you, and I'm just going to walk in simplicity. You know, here's Bruce Cook, and he's, you know, children's ministry director of our church. Now, that's not really a popular ministry in, you know, the world's minds. You know, Bruce is out, you know, amongst religious people, and they say, "So what do you do?" He says, "So I do Sunday school. Teach the teachers." And then there's, you know, Aaron standing there, and they say, "Well, what do you do?" And Aaron says, "Well, I do worship, and I work with the high schoolers." And then I'm standing there, and they say, "What do you do?" "Well, I'm the senior pastor." And and you know, and immediately they begin to, oh, they start talking to me. Now Bruce, he's just works with the kids. Oh, see, that's what's seen, right? Oh, but hopefully Bruce knows this. I think he does. The calling that he has, the Lord called him. The Lord hasn't called him to be a senior pastor, and he's thankful for it. Amen? And so is Stacy. Though she knows it or not. I'll never forget the time I left for 2 weeks, put Aaron in charge, came back, Megan said, "I'm so glad that he's not the senior pastor." That was a hard 2 weeks. Thanks for coming home. But you know, here's Bruce. He has this opportunity to pour into these kids that will listen. We might not think they're listening. That haven't been influenced by the world. He doesn't have to do a class on philosophy, on worldview. He doesn't have to do all this apologetics with them. "Jesus loves me, this I know, the Bible told me so." Yay, Jesus! And they grow up. And they grow up in their minds understanding, and Bruce is the guy that lays the foundation for maybe someone else to build on, but the foundation's the foundation. And he's raising up. Who knows who he's raising up? Time will only tell, but it's all unseen right now. And it all seems insignificant. He does the child care. He's not doing child care, but that's how sometimes... Oh, they watch the kids down there. Oh, you're the babysitter of the church. You see, that's the lower part of the totem pole in, church, in leadership. Not at all. Not in God's mind. In man's, maybe. Not in God's heart. And see, this is where we can spare ourselves from striving and just being fools. And just saying, hey, this is what God has spoken. God has called me to. And I'm walking with God. And I'm going to pour my life into these kids. And I'm going to just stand back and see the glory of God. And there we are on the day of judgment. And I've done all of these school of ministries and trained all of these leaders. And half of them backslide, and half of them go off on different ideas and everything because they've had all these different influences or whatever. And I've got maybe two guys that were radically used of God, and they stand there before the throne, and I just worship the Lord. And then there comes Bruce's Sunday school class. 20, 30 years down the line, and you've got these full-on missionaries and these evangelists and these just on fire, pure-minded, once were kids, now mightily used of God, written in the books of church history. You know, and it's like, but see, we don't see any of that right now. We just see what we see. And we've got to live on what we don't see, on what we know of the Lord, of what we know of heaven, of what we know of the eternal, of what we know of His Word. And we've got to worship. And we've got to give Him praise and honor. And we've got to keep the main thing the main thing. And I pray we do that. And my heart for, as we close up the retreat, is that was what we do. Let me reiterate a couple things. It is simple to walk with the Lord. It isn't this huge, difficult task. That's not the gospel we preach to sinners. You come to Christ and man, it's hard, but if you work real hard at it and you strive and you really labor, you'll get it. It's not Gnosticism. You don't have to, get to a certain level and then you'll be of those that are of the enlightened ones. You can walk with God because He's easy to walk with. He's easy, God's real easy to get along with. People act like He's not. It's hard to walk with. It's hard to walk with God. When you talk about walk next to somebody, be in fellowship with, it's real hard to fellowship with the Lord. He's difficult. He's hard to deal with. And that's how we act. He's not hard to deal with. I am. And He bears with me, and He's the only one that will. So the result is, He's the only one really that will walk with me, so I walk with Him. He's the only one that will accept me. This is the gospel we preach. God will take you, and God is easy to walk with. That doesn't mean it's always easy in this world walking with God, but God is. He's my friend. He's with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. When my father and mother leave me, He'll take care of me. He's there. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's the only one I can depend on. He's the only one that I can trust. And so I do. It's just logical. And He's not difficult. And He's a blessing. Ministry, that's a little more difficult. People, they're difficult. But with the Lord, He makes it simple for me as I keep it simple with Him. And I just walk with Him and love Him and worship Him and walk in His grace and allow Him to anoint me and fill me with this Holy Spirit and touch my life and do His work. And I just love it. And I can rejoice in the midst of affliction because I know He's with me. That kind of a heart, that kind of an attitude is what I pray that God could give to you, give to me, as we go on in our ministries. That we would be a people that are in love with Jesus. And I'll tell you what, God will do mighty things.
We closed last year's conference with God Has Spoken, a message I did. Many of you remember it. God has spoken. And God has. And what was it that He spoke? That He's going to do an awesome, mighty work. And last year's, we heard the different pastors speaking, and I was just blown away at just the reality of the leaders that we have. And even this year, just looking around and seeing the leaders that are here, the leadership that is here is incredible. The potential, the gifts that God has given, it's wonderful. A handful of guys could do just what I did this week. You know, incredible gifted teachers, gifted worship leaders, people with gifts that I don't have. Just leadership qualities are abounding right here in this room. And it's a blessing. And it's humbling to be amongst a group like this. I'm humbled by you guys. I'm humbled to sit here and to pretend like I'm going to instruct you in something. Because you have so much you can instruct me in. And the Lord has done such a work. And God is continuing to do that work. And God wants to do an awesome work in your lives. But the work is going to happen when we simply walk with Jesus. And boy, His work is powerful and good. And He's going to do that work. And I pray God would just touch you and fill you and do His work in you.